scores! Gilmore scores! With 103 left!
Off the glass, the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk. Starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, we are underway. Happy Thursday. It is March 21st. Happy spring with Aaron Vickers. It's Pat Steinberg along with you from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, Vix.
Hello, Patty. How are we doing on this fine spring day, as you mentioned?
Doing all right. Oh, yeah. Feels like spring. Like, just end this. Let's get on with this. It's almost April. If you're not listening in Calgary, what we're talking about is it's just gross. It's warm, but it's gross.
Slushy, snowy.
It's sludgy. Like, the snow is gray. It's like, let's go.
Dirty.
Get out of here. I came to practice Thursday morning. First practice of the week for the Flames. If we count Monday, but that was a morning skate. First practice of the week for the Flames after days off on Tuesday and Wednesday. Came to practice on Thursday. Very interested in what we might see. I had a bit of an inkling that it might be a newsworthy day because they've been off for a couple days. And I was really curious to see if Jacob Markstrom would be on the ice. Just because we knew he was getting healthier. And I was really curious how the potential for three goaltenders might work on the ice on Thursday morning and as we move forward the rest of the season. I got there. Practice was about what started at 10:30. I got there about 10 to 10. And I walked in. Lights were still low. And there, as I was dropping off my backpack and about to sit down in seat 14, there's all of a sudden this big, tall man without pads comes out and starts skating around. Just so happened that big, tall man was Jacob Markstrom. Tested out some new goalie skates for like 45 seconds, then went back in. So I was like, okay, I guess we will be seeing Jacob, I guess. It's probably a good bet we'll see him. And then literally 3 or 4 minutes later, the Flames made their announcement on Dan Vladar, who is now done for the season with hip surgery, which is going to take place next week. Vladar will not play out the rest of the season. And you just, more than anything else, you feel bad for the guy because there's a guy that has been a really big part of this group for the last three seasons. He's a very, very well-liked teammate, and he was hoping to finish the season strongly and hoping to go into the offseason feeling good about his game. But this is the right move. It's the right move for the Flames, the right move for the player when you take all the circumstances into account. Right away, as soon as the news came out, just talking with a couple people, feels like this has been something that he's been dealing with, Dan's been dealing with for a little while. And then Jacob Markstrom confirmed that when he spoke with us on Thursday morning. So this is something that Dan's been dealing with for quite some time, like at least more than a month. The way, just the belief is that, or the way I understand it, when he missed time in February. He missed about a week in, maybe a little bit more than a week, but coming out of the All-Star break.
6 days.
It was 6 days? Okay.
3 games in 6 days.
So coming out of the All-Star break when Vladar had to spend a little time on the shelf related to this hip injury, this nagging hip thing that he's been dealing with for however long it's been. So just when you take into account everything that's going on right now, how much time is left in the season, where the Flames are in the standings, the fact that Jacob is coming back, the fact that you want Dan Vladar to be back healthy to start next season. You've got Dustin Wolf, who has shown he can cut it in the NHL. It made sense for the Flames to go down this surgery road and not delay it any longer.
Yeah, the situation, as per my understanding, is this has been something that he's been dealing with for some time now, and it's a situation where, yeah, if you need him, he's available. He can play through this to a certain extent. But now you've got your undisputed number one in Jacob Markstrom back and healthy. You've got Dustin Wolf, who has shown well of late, and you really, as an organization, would like to get him into more games. both from an adaption standpoint and an evaluation standpoint, both from the team perspective and the goalie's own perspective. And suddenly we're down to two goalies again, which makes sense because three is never ideal. No, there isn't a team, a coach, a goalie coach, or the goalies themselves that love a three-goalie system. It just is one of the most frustrating elements I've ever come across from their perspective in talking about it. Nobody even goes, yeah, we can make it work. It's always, that is not ideal. So you take into consideration, you have your number one goalie back. You have Dustin Wolf, who you want to get more action into. And the fact that, yeah, from a timing perspective, if you get this done now with Dan Vladar, he'll be ready for the start of next season. Just makes sense for the Calgary Flames to go ahead and do this now.
Everything, I know that they are eight back and there's still mathematical playoff life, but I think realistically we understand where the Flames are in this situation, and they can't be making decisions that kind of are counter to the big picture for their very, very slim playoff hopes. That's not to say they should quit on the season. That's not to say that inside that locker room they shouldn't continue to be focused on winning as many games as possible in their final 14. But from a big picture standpoint, that has to be the priority. You have to be being more beholden to the overall better of the team as opposed to the very small picture right now. And so they're making the right call, especially now that Jacob Markstrom is healthy. Here is head coach Ryan Huska. He spoke a little bit about Dan Vladar's situation on Thursday morning.
That's a tough one for sure. I mean, when you get into that situation, you want the best for him. And I think the reason why he gets done now is really about that, so he'll be ready in time for next year, so it allows him to get his season off to a proper start. So all that stuff kind of comes into play with it, but it's hard on guys because they want to be in the net in his situation more often than not. He's had a couple tough starts lately in regards to how the team played in front of him, but once this is done, I know he's going to come back better and stronger from it.
Right. And usually with goalies, a hip isn't a spur of the moment thing. Is this something Dan's been trying to kind of play through for a while?
I think every goaltender has hip issues. The way they play, I can't even bend that way. And I think over time for a goaltender, there's wear and tear along it. So it is not anything that just happens that, bang, there's his injury. When you look at goaltenders' hip injuries, those are things that they deal with for a while.
We talked to Jacob. It felt like he wanted to emphasize the respect he had for just what a warrior Dan has been for this team. Yeah. Is that a respect, I guess, that's shared?
Well, for sure. And that's the hockey player, whether it's we're talking about Dan right now, but there's a lot of players that play through a lot of things. And a lot of sports guys won't do that, but in this one, that's what people do. So whether it's something broken and guys play through it, or things aren't right daily. And it's just what players do, and he is no different in that situation. I thought he gave us some great starts along the way this year as well.
So that is Ryan Huska, the head coach, a little bit on Dan Vladar's situation. Dan, done for the year. Your goaltending tandem for the final 14 games of the regular season is Jacob Markstrom, who practiced for the first time since last Tuesday. After missing the last five games, Jacob Markstrom practiced with Dustin Wolf in the other net. Jacob was back in his familiar perch in the starter's net. And as Ryan Huska told us, Jacob is planned to be the starter. You're basically looking at Jacob Dustin on Saturday, Sunday. Markstrom in Vancouver is the plan. And then you can assume that Wolf would be the plan Sunday against the Buffalo Sabres. We're going to hear from both Dustin and Jacob here quite shortly, but what's the ideal split now? And Wes and I talked a lot about this on Wednesday before we knew this thing was trending towards Dan being done, and before we knew that there was not going to be three goalies. We talked about if there were three up with the team, how would the Flames go about it? Well, now it's two. How should the Flames go about splitting up these starts between now and the end of the regular season? Because I think it should be close to a 50-50 split, honestly.
Yeah, the Calgary Flames have, 14 games remaining, so your 50-50 split would be 7-7, and that's exactly what I have sort of jotted down. In an ideal world, I think you're still getting Jacob Markstrom his work, and Jacob Markstrom, regardless of circumstances, never going to want to leave the crease. He wants to go body willing 100% of the time. But that's not necessarily what's best for the Calgary Flames, and you need to get Dustin Wolf some work in there to evaluate what he is. Again, give Dustin Wolf an idea of where he's at so on and so forth. Now, the Flames are down to a 1.6% chance of making the playoffs, according to Money Puck. So technically, they're still in it,
well,
but
I mean,
it's
look,
a
I
long
mean,
shot.
Inside the room, they don't care about
right.
Money Puck and Aaron Vickers
so,
and his odds.
Well, and this goes into the splits. So for as long as they've got a chance, I think they lean more Markstrom than they do Wolf. Markstrom gives you your best chance night in, night out to win. This is a group that still wants to win, is focused on winning, has their eyes set on winning. So that's number one. Development is second to, well, really anybody in the NHL at this point. But from a development standpoint, I think it would be good to get Wolf 7. I just think that it's not going to go Markstrom start, Wolf start, Markstrom start, Wolf start, alternating.
Yeah.
I think what will happen is Markstrom will carry the bulk of the load in the short term. And then in the longer term, it'll be Dustin Wolf who gets a chance to run with it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I do think now is the time where, even though they do still have mathematical life, I still think even as a coaching staff, you can make more pragmatic decisions or big picture decisions. And it's not like Dustin isn't giving you a chance to win.
Right.
Dustin's given them a chance to win too. So, you know, we know that Jacob Markstrom is continuing to manage something as well. He has a nagging injury that is probably going to stick with him the rest of the season as well and has been plaguing him for a good chunk of this year. Like, we know that. So you don't have to feed Jacob 10 of the last 14. You can be a little bit more judicious with how you hand this stuff out. And you can say, look, Dustin Wolf's a big picture member of our team and a big part of our team going forward. So let's make sure that we get him lots of work here. And so if it's 8-6, sure. But I just think you need to see a lot of Dustin Wolf between now and the end of the regular season. You don't need to force feed Markstrom starts. In fact, there probably is plenty of reason not to force feed him starts here, knowing that he is still dealing with something. So yeah, 7-7 seems really, really fair to me in however way they want to break it up. And obviously it's going to be 1-1 this weekend. There'd be no reason to have Jacob go back to back.
Not coming off of an injury or
coming off an
rest.
Injury practice. But like, you lose an hour coming back, like just silliness. So you go Jacob, you go Dustin, and then you've got a weird, like they basically start a 4-game road trip because they are Vancouver, Calgary, Chicago, St. Louis, or St. Louis, I guess Chicago, St. Louis. Yeah. So they go to Vancouver. They're, as we're talking right now, they've probably landed already, if not still in the air en route to Vancouver. Then they practice there Friday, play there Saturday, immediately come home, play Sunday at the Dome against Buffalo, then leave Monday for the Midwest, play their 2 games out there. Then it's just a stupid schedule. Yep. So it's basically a 4-game road trip here. So there'd be no reason to, you know, go out of your way to make sure Jacob is starting when it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, and as the schedule shapes up for the remainder of the season for the Calgary Flames, they have 2 sets of back-to-backs, including this weekend that you've talked about. But other than that, they play every second day, other than a 2-day stretch between playing the Oilers on Saturday, April 6th, and the Sharks on Tuesday, April 9th. So it's not even as though the schedule doesn't set up for do kind of whatever you want, because the rest will be there, the management will be there. So there's not really an element of, okay, well, we got to take into consideration travel day here or X this or X that. Like it lays out pretty straightforwardly to do almost whatever you want to do from here on out. There's no obstacle,
yeah,
however you want to shape it up.
Let's hear from both Jacob Markstrom and Dustin Wolf as they spoke with us on Thursday morning at the Dome. Let's start with Jacob, who, he was talkative in some spots and less talkative in others. Yeah. Here's Jacob Markstrom as he was back on the practice ice for the first time Thursday and is trending to start Saturday in Vancouver.
Jacob, maybe just start with what it's like to get back with the guys here this morning and get a full skate in.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good feeling. It's obviously, it's not fun to be on the sideline and, watching the games on TV and not being out there and battling. So it was it's a good feeling to be out there and practicing again.
Maybe just, I guess, the way the schedule kind of works out here a couple of days off of the team, but just to have a couple of practices here again before getting back in action on Saturday, does that kind of help get everything, you know, back in the swing of things before the game?
I mean, I think, you know, obviously, you know, the team here and the medical team and everybody was, you know, put up a plan, and this is just kind of how it worked out, and it was, you know, obviously good timing of everything, getting some extra time and extra practice days. Not often you have two practice days in a row, so it was good.
Jacob, are we talking about something that's been bugging you for a while and just required some rest, or can you shed any light on that?
No, not really any light, as per usual.
How do you support a guy like Dan Vladar, obviously, to be heard the tough news in this season?
Yeah, I mean, he's a warrior. He's been battling this for quite some while, and you know, it's out now that he's going to get some work done and fix this this problem he has, and seeing what he's been through the last few years, and how he battled, and never complains, and he's always happy and practicing hard. So it's big picture, this is a good thing, and hopefully he gets some time to recover, and he's going to feel great when everything is said and done.
As a goalie and seeing him battle through, like, what, how difficult can that be, knowing how important that part of the body is to your...
Yeah, well, it's everyone, not only goalies but players too, it's obviously, you see a lot more stuff that doesn't come out to you guys and doesn't come out to the public or the fans that guys go through, and it's you want to see those guys succeed and play good, and then at some point, Vladar, I don't think he never want to miss any games or any practices, and you kind of have to be told that you're sideline, and still then it's frustrating, but like I said, he's been battling his behind off, and it's he's been awesome for our group, get this fixed, and hopefully he come back and can elevate his game even more.
Is it a little bit different for dynamic with Dustin now, a young kid? Like, do you feel like you're sort of a mentor in a weird way here?
No, I feel the same age as my partner, so it's good for me. Yeah,
yeah. 22.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
What did you see out of Dustin Wolf in his last three starts here?
No, it's good. Obviously, he's showing everyone that he can stop the puck, and he's playing great hockey for years now. So it's obviously, I know the transition is, it's a different game, and it takes time. And, for me, it took kind of, almost 10 years to kind of figure everything out. And it's, you got to play games to get better and to learn. And, I think, he's been doing great when he comes in here and play.
We haven't chatted with you for a while. Is it a relief to have the deadline and speculation and everything that comes with it in the rear view?
It's been a relief not talking to you guys. Yeah. Yeah, we look forward now.
Did you end up talking to Craig after you saw how that unfolded?
Huge game Saturday, big practice tomorrow.
Do you see yourself with the organization here?
Huge practice tomorrow. We got to look forward now. Everyone in this room is going to be here now, and I got a contract 2 more years, and I'm just excited to be back playing.
What do you make of the wild card chase right now, given your position? There's a couple teams between you and Vegas as well.
Yeah, I mean, all we can do is just play every night and compete and try to win, and as long as there is a chance, and everything can happen. So we got great leaders in this locker room, and everybody got to pick up a shovel and start digging.
When you talk about it took you 10 years to sort of maybe figure out the position at this level, like, is there a way you can share some of that with Dustin that might fast forward the process for him at all?
Well, I think it's a lot mental than people think. It's kind of how the game is, because even now, I go through stretches where I feel like the game is so fast, and then when I feel good and have success in my play, the game is really slow, and you're in position and just waiting for it. So it's kind of the read of the pace of the game and trying to stay ahead of it the whole time.
How would you like to see, this is a crazy question to ask you because you always want to play, but how would you like to see the starts dispersed over the last little while? You still want to be the number one guy?
I mean, that's up to Husk, obviously, and we can't really look that much further. We don't have that luxury. We gotta win this game Saturday and then see what the other teams do.
So there is Jacob Markstrom from Thursday after his first practice in about 9 days, He practiced on Tuesday for the game against Colorado, last Tuesday against Colorado, then didn't play the game, and he hasn't been skating with the team since, but he is on track to start Saturday against the Vancouver Canucks. So it'll be good to see Jacob Markstrom back between the pipes, and it's I think there's a really interesting, and obviously there's lots about his, not lots about his future. He was less talkative about his future, understandably so. I think you got the answers you expected from him when asked about his injury and when asked about the future of him with the team. He's here for the next month. We know the next 14 games, Jacob Markstrom's not going anywhere. What happens after that? Still lots of questions, lots of uncertainty, lots of speculation. But for the next month, I think there's a massive opportunity for Dustin Wolf to learn from one of the NHL's best goaltenders, to learn from a consummate pro, a guy who goes about his business as professionally and in such a dedicated fashion. I think there's a really good opportunity for Dustin Wolf to work with Jacob here, regardless of what the split is between now and the end of the regular season.
I think that's the biggest benefit to this situation. And yes, you don't want to see it come at the expense of a guy losing the rest of his season in Dan Vladar. But the Calgary Flames, regardless of trade, regardless of injury, have always had a next man up mentality. And this is going to be no different in net. But from a development standpoint for Dustin Wolf, this is ideal. Getting a chance to spend a month, I don't want to say behind Jacob Markstrom because we don't know what the splits are, so on and so forth. But just the chance
with
to
Jacob Markstrom.
With Jacob Markstrom, you have the chance to just sit there and observe from one of the best goalies in the NHL as it stands this season, and watch what he does, watch how he handles things, pick his brain a little bit. And this is something that Dustin Wolf hasn't really had the luxury to do all season, other than that 6-day stretch when Dan Vladar was hurt in February. Every other recall has been a result of a Jacob Markstrom illness or injury. So now you're in a situation, if you're Dustin Wolf, where you're sitting two stalls away from the guy, the number one, the what Dustin Wolf will hear called a top five goalie in the NHL. And if you aren't maximizing that opportunity, I don't know what you're doing, because this is a up close and personal look or apprenticeship for a guy that's been in the league for over a decade and has been playing at a really high sort of level for the past three or four or five seasons, last season notwithstanding.
So now Dustin Wolf gets that opportunity. He's with the Flames for the rest of the regular season. Here's Dustin as he spoke Thursday morning as well.
Unfortunate news about Dan. Dustin, how you look at this opportunity?
That's exactly what it is. It's a good opportunity for myself to be in this locker, be around these guys for the next month, hopefully more. And every time I get a chance to play, play my game and help the team win as many games as possible.
So much of the goalie dynamic obviously happens behind the scenes. You know, you're coming in and Dan's job is one of the ones you're trying to take, and yet he's trying to kind of support you along the way. Can you just describe, as he gets some bad news today, how he's helped you along?
Yeah, he's been outstanding. You know, each and every one of them, between Vladia and Marky, both of them. Anytime I've been up, they've been, just like best friends. And, in my shoes, I want to support them the best I can, just like Vladdy has all year to Marky. And, I know they're going to do the very same when I get my opportunities as well. So, goalies are a goal union for a reason. And, it definitely takes a village to make sure we're all together.
What are some things you've learned from being around Dan Vladar?
I mean, he's always got a smile on his face. He's a battler, a competitor. He works his butt off each and every day, and that's something I can take for sure. Is nothing's given here. You got to work and earn your opportunities, and I think he's done that. He's, every time I've been up here, he's played some outstanding hockey, and it's certainly been fun to watch.
Can you just give a sense of being around the team for the rest of the season, games, practices, in the room the entire way, just how important that can be for your development?
Yeah, obviously that's. This is the place I want to be as much as I possibly can. And, I've kind of been up and down a lot all the year, so there hasn't been a whole lot of time to adjust to where my feet are at. And, know, this is definitely the opportunity I've been hoping and waiting for, and now it's the chance to take advantage of it.
Does it make you feel more settled in some level? You know you're here for a month. This is where you're going to be.
Yeah, I think there's a little more certainty. Granted, you never want to see a guy go down for injury, and I've been through it in my past, and you know what, now, you know, that's the unfortunate thing of the sport is, you know, you put your body through some incredible things, and but you know what, I'm wishing him every bit of the best and hope he comes back stronger, and obviously it'll be good to compete with him again.
Both you and Markstrom have mentioned his sort of toughness, like that he's just been a warrior for this organization.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not easy not playing a ton. Marky's an absolute horse in there. He plays physically as many games as his body can handle, and it's a battle and a grind coming to the rink and putting in the extra hours on the ice and making sure you're physically ready and mentally ready for when your opportunity does come. So give him a lot of props for that. He's done an outstanding job, and now it's my opportunity to try to fill those shoes.
Dustin, what can you learn from a guy who's been around and is playing at the level that Jacob is?
I mean, he's a world class goaltender for a reason. He's in my mind probably top five in the league, and the way he handles himself off the ice is super important, and I think that's a big reason why he's played so long in this league, and I'm sure he'll play many more years. And I'm super excited to be around him, each and every day for the next month, and kind of pick apart his game and see what works super well for him. And granted, I don't have the structure that he does, but try to learn as much as I can.
How was your time being around the team now, and what other time you'll get after? How has that helped you in terms of getting adjusted to NHL shooters and everything else that comes with being an NHL player compared to playing in the AHL?
Yeah, I mean, every time you go up and down, there's a few days of adjustment period of, you've got different caliber players, and granted, these are the best players in the world up here, and that's exactly where you want to be. You want to be playing against the best, and I think there's always learning opportunities, whether you win games or if you lose games. There's always chances to build upon, each and every day. And, every day I come in here, I learn something new about the team, about, a teammate, of how I can better myself as a player and a person. And I think that's the fun part about it.
Dustin, you mentioned off the ice Markstrom, how he conducts himself. Like, what specifically off the ice can a young guy like you take from a veteran like that?
I mean, he's pretty structured in how he goes about his routines and his days. Any goalie that has a long tenured career in the league, if you're not structured, you're not setting yourself up for the best. But that's exactly what he does. He makes sure he comes to the rink, makes sure his body is in the right condition, and obviously it shows in the ice. He's been outstanding out there, and now I get to watch it from close up.
There you go. That is Dustin Wolf as he spoke with us on Thursday morning as well. Big opportunity, and as much as you never want to see one of your teammates go down like Dan has, Dustin also realized this is a great chance for him to really set his feet. And as he said earlier, it's the first time that I've really been able to, be where my feet are and not just kind of feel like you're in and out and in and out. Now he gets an opportunity to get a little more settled at the highest level.
Yeah, there's no mystery as to how long he's going to be here, when he's going to go back down to the Wranglers, so on and so forth. He knows he's a member of the Calgary Flames right to the end of the season, and then from there on, I imagine he'll have a run with the Calgary Wranglers in the playoffs. But for the time being, he knows when he wakes up every morning.
Yep.
Where he needs to go, what he needs to do, and there's some predictability in that I think will benefit him. As you mentioned, he gets to be where his feet are. He doesn't have to worry about being sent back down or when he's going to get the next recall up. I think from the mental standpoint of being able to prepare how you're going to prepare game in, game out, day in, day out, really benefit him. And then you just layer on the fact that he gets to watch Jacob Markstrom, who, I mean, look at the last goalie to play behind Jacob Markstrom in a development role. Thatcher Demko seemed to work well for the Vancouver Canucks. And now I'm not going to suggest Wolf is immediately going to become Demko because Markstrom's here for the next month. But it certainly helps when you have a goalie of his caliber that you're able to watch, that you're able to copycat, that you're able to ask questions to. I think this is a great development time for Dustin Wolf.
Yep. I'm curious to see what he does with it. And I'm just curious to see as to what we see from him as this opportunity goes along. A few texts to wrap up the hour. This from Canucks fan Sarah here in Calgary says, look at how well sitting behind Jacob went for Thatcher Demko. Yep. Maybe the same thing will happen for Dustin. This reads, as many as possible for Wolf. Let's see what they have. That comes from Walshy and Strathmore. Tim says, hypothetically speaking, let's say Jacob gets hurt and he's out for the rest of the season. Who then becomes Wolf's backup? That would be Oscar Dansk. He's the only other goalie on a two-way deal right now. So Oscar Dansk would move up and they'd bring Radomski in from the ECHL likely and go Murphy and Radomski at the American League level.
Either that or you go external and just use a goalie on an expiring contract so that, you know, hypothetically, if you're battling for the Calder Cup playoffs, you might want to have Dansk there. But at the same time, to your point, as it stands right now, he's the only goalie on a contract that could come up.
And this reads, I still have belief in Dan being a solid 1A, 1B. Hopefully he can get healthy again and live up to the potential we saw from him for the better part of last year. As the text line's open at 960-960 this hour, a Flames talk underway. It's Steinberg and Vickers from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Cracked foundation, Boeing foundation walls. We have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They are all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time now for our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Thursday, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. Steinberg Vickers and now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. Gents, well, Vix and I, we spent a little bit of time on this earlier, kind of just before we heard from both Jacob Markstrom and Dustin Wolf. I want to go more in depth on it now. Guys, 14 games to go. Dan Vladar no longer able to play. He's been shut down with season-ending hip surgery. So it's Dustin Wolf, Jacob Markstrom as your goaltending tandem for the final 14 games of the season. Gents, what's the ideal split? How should they split these games between now and the end of the regular season?
Oh, that's a tough one, Pat, because I don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out. And I also don't know how close to 100% Jacob Markstrom is. Clearly, he's been dealing with something nagging for quite some time now. And it's good to see him back at practice. Good to hear that he's cleared to play. And I do wonder if he will start Saturday versus his former team, the Canucks. And I say that because it's easy to jump to the conclusion that he would. But when you look at the Flames schedule next week, so they've got a back-to-back on the road in Vancouver and then home to Buffalo and then a day off and then Chicago and then a day off and then St. Louis, both of those games being on the road, and then a day off and they're home to Los Angeles. So I suspect Jacob Markstrom probably starts against the Canucks and Dustin Wolf gets the second half of the back-to-back against the Sabres. But I also think playing against the Blackhawks would be a softer landing spot for Wolf than the Blues or the Kings would be to finish off next week. So that's the rest of the month of March. You head to April, you've got one more back-to-back coming up the second week. It's probably the easiest back-to-back in the NHL, Los Angeles to Anaheim. But without getting into all the games in the month of April, I'd like to see Dustin Wolf get, you know, four or five or six starts between now and the end of the season. Maybe more if the Flames really fall out of it. Maybe less if they think they're still in it. Without kind of knowing how everything's going to play out, it's a difficult question for me to answer.
Yeah, assuming a healthy Jacob Markstrom for the balance of the season, and Coach Ryan Huska did mention if everything goes to plan with Markstrom, he will play against the Vancouver Canucks. But assuming Markstrom can stay healthy for the balance of the season. I'm targeting a 7-7 split between Markstrom and Wolf, 14 games, give each half. And how that's distributed, I think, might be a little different. I think we could see Jacob Markstrom carry the more shorter term, and then Dustin Wolf gets more of his seven games in the, you know, mid to late April sort of stretch. But for me, I think it's ideal to have both goalies play. But for Dustin Wolf, I think he needs to play seven here. And if you're setting the betting line at 6.5, I'm probably going to bet the over. But if you're setting it at 8.5, I'm probably going the under on that, because I don't think he gets the majority. So I think an even 7-7 split is what would work best.
I have no idea what way the Flames are going to go on this one. I really don't. But if it were me, yeah, I'd like to see. I think there's reason on both sides to do a little bit more of an even split, because on the one hand, we know that Jacob Markstrom is dealing with something, and we know that he almost certainly is going to be dealing with whatever's been nagging him until the end of the season. So that's going to be something that is a part of this conversation until the end of the year, I believe, and has been for a good chunk of this year. So knowing that, and knowing that he has had to miss time on a fairly periodical basis here, I don't know, like, you have no reason to force feed Jacob Markstrom starts right now. You got no reason to, play him when it seems like there's a better opportunity to go to Wolf, or it seems like, yeah, do you need to play him that third straight game? You could go to Wolf there. And so point is, like, 7-7 seems really reasonable for me, because after Saturday, when they play in Vancouver, like, we're going to get hit over the head with games. It is nothing but games until the end of the regular season. So you've got a number one goalie who's just coming off of injury, who has had to be on the shelf multiple times this year. You have no reason to overwork Jacob, because two things: A, Dustin Wolf's giving you a chance to win. B, you are able to make big picture decisions now with 14 games to go and an extremely large gap to make up. If we're just calling facts what they are, it is way more important to lean towards the big picture now than it is to make more short-sighted decisions based on a very, very low probability you're going to make the playoffs. And I'm not saying that the belief inside that room should change, or that the players shouldn't go out and try to win games. Of course they should. But from the top, you can be more focused on the big picture now. That's why they've shut Dan Vladar down, because Jacob's healthy. Now's the time to do it. And you can give Dustin Wolf this opportunity, because he's proven with his last three starts that he gives you an opportunity to win. So 7-7, that seems really, really fair to me. And you don't have to, like, be deliberate about it, but I think you do have to make sure that you get Dustin some real meaningful playing time now, between now and the end of the regular season.
Yeah, as glass half full guy, it pains me to say this, but even I can admit that I would be very, very surprised if the Flames found a way into the playoffs. They're 8 points out with 14 games to go. They've got to climb over some teams. It's going to be not impossible, but next to. But I'm not sure that inside that dressing room or inside that coach's office, that's how they're looking at it, because nobody that I've talked to publicly or privately has indicated that this team is ready to throw in the towel on trying to get to the postseason. So if that's the way they're going to handle it, then I would be surprised if it was a 7-7 split in the final 14 games. I would think that Markstrom would get the majority of the starts if he is healthy. And I think it's easy to go to Wolf in the second half of back-to-backs. I think it's easy to say we're going to give him at least one game, if not two games, when we've got four-game weeks. But it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. Dustin Wolf, I think, has given the Flames a chance to win in every game he's played in since his last recall. But Markstrom has been their most valuable player, in my opinion, this season. And he's going to want to play if he feels physically up to it. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, big picture, longer term, yeah, I think the more we see Dustin Wolf between now and the end of the season, the better idea we're going to have, not that what we think matters, but the better idea we're going to have. And even the better idea the Flames are going to have what this guy is at the NHL level. I think they believe he's going to be a number one goaltender in this league, but we have such a small sample size to work with, and so do they. How do we know that at this point in time, what, 10, 12 games into his NHL career? So the more games he gets, the easier it is going to be to evaluate him, and the more valuable experience that he'll gain before the end of the season is he tries to be one of these team's top two goaltenders, and I assume he will be to start next season.
Yeah, I don't think there's any disputing that Jacob Markstrom has been the MVP for the Calgary Flames this season. If he had his way, he'd probably want to start 13 or 12 of the 14 and not have to worry about the two back-to-back sets. But I am of the opinion, and I feel like you guys will agree, that right now, given where this team is and given what this team needs to learn and where they're going to be next season, that Dustin Wolf is a more important goalie in terms of evaluation over the course of the last month of the season than Jacob Markstrom. We know what Jacob Markstrom is. We don't know what Dustin Wolf is. We know Jacob Markstrom has the experience. We know Dustin Wolf doesn't. So from an important standpoint, from that perspective, I think it's more important to get Dustin Wolf the starts than it is Jacob Markstrom. Now, telling Jacob Markstrom that, you know, you're only going to start X number of games, he'll want to start every game that he can. But from a development standpoint and from an evaluation standpoint, to me, Wolf is the bigger importance or the priority at this stage.
It's an interesting balancing act.
I agree, but I don't know if the team is into full evaluation mode yet. I mean, even look at the fourth line today at practice, and maybe the fourth line changes between now and Saturday night, but Matt Coronato was on the outside looking in. Jacob Pelche had just got sent down. They've got a fourth line with Kevin Rooney in between A.J. Greer and Dryden Hunt, three veteran players in this league. So that tells me that they're not yet into, we're not focused on this season. We're looking ahead to next season or looking ahead to the future, and evaluating players and getting players' experience is more important than winning hockey games. Maybe they get to that point, but I don't get the sense that they're there yet.
Yeah, you might be right. I just think I just think with this situation, they can be, and I think they should be. Whether they agree with me or not is another story.
And at some point, they're going to get there.
Probably, yeah. At some point, it probably will become a whole lot more obvious that's going to happen. It'll be, we know this. If all goes according to plan, it's Jacob Saturday, Dustin Sunday, and then we can go from there. It's going to be a lot of wear and tear all of a sudden. They play 4-6 with travel between every single game starting Saturday. Vancouver, Calgary, Chicago, St. Louis, 4-6. So pretty good chance it's a 50-50 split in the next four, and then perhaps we can go from there. It's our Daily Flames Roundtable with Derek, Aaron, and Pat on this Thursday. And on that Saturday game, it'll be the first time. We'll get more into the Lindholm stuff on Friday's roundtable. But so the game against Vancouver will be the first time Elias Lindholm plays the Flames this season, and the first time since the trade in late January that Elias takes on his former team, which also means it's the first time Andre Kuzmenko plays his former team in the Vancouver Canucks. We're, about a month and a half, almost 2 months into the trade being made with the Canucks that saw Lindholm go the other way. Do we, or how good of an idea do we have with how Kuzmenko fits with this group now and going forward?
I'm still trying to figure it out. Saturday night, to quote Andre Kuzmenko, should be very interesting. He likes to say that, and it should be interesting seeing Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov in a Canucks jersey, but I'm still trying to figure out where he fits the best. Now, I will say this. I like the lines at practice today. On paper, a line of Yegor Sharangovich between Jonathan Huberdeau and Andre Kuzmenko makes a lot of sense to me. You've got a good 200-foot centerman in Yegor Sharangovich, who I think has done a really good job replacing Elias Lindholm at 5-on-5. And they were both on the power play, but some of those power play minutes as well. And then you've got Kevin Rooney, who's kind of eaten up his penalty-killing minutes. But Sharangovich has really developed into a terrific 200-foot centerman for this team. And he's a shooter. Kuzmenko's a shooter. And Huberto is the best passer on your team and one of the best playmakers in the league when he's right. And he's been closer to being that guy in the last couple of months than at any other point in time since he joined the Flames. So I do like that line in theory, but you've also got Kuzmenko, who's not great without the puck or defensively, and Huberdeau, even though I think he's improved in those two areas, he wouldn't be the strongest 200-foot winger on this team. That's obvious. So I do think that there's plenty of potential there offensively for that line. If you can get the right matchups, if you can feed them almost exclusively offensive zone starts, then I think that line could have success. But it's tougher to do those things when you're on the road and when you're trying to be a team that wins by rolling four lines and three pairings. So I'm still trying to figure out where he fits. The one place I don't think he does fit, and we've seen him there from time to time, is on the fourth line. He doesn't fit the identity of what Ryan Huska and the Flames want from a fourth line. You take a look at the three guys who were on it today, and I asked the head coach about those three players and how they play the game and if their identity fits what he wants the identity of his fourth line to be. And he basically said, yes, that's why he's got that threesome of Rooney, Greer, and Hunt. Kuzmenko's not that kind of player. He's a guy who I think has to play in your top nine, has to play in your power play, and that's putting him in a position to succeed. Where does he fit long-term? I'm not sure. A lot could change between now and the start of next season, and maybe that becomes more obvious to me. But right now, he hasn't really been a square peg in a square hole. He's been more of a square peg in a round hole to this point. There have been times where it looks like he does fit on a line with Sharon Govich and Huberdeau. But then again, there have been times when that didn't look like a perfect fit. So maybe you guys know more than I do. Maybe it's clearer for you than it is for me, but I'm still trying to figure out where he fits best.
About the only thing that I'm certain of with Kuzmenko is that he needs to play in a top six role. And he's been quasi-productive since he joined the Calgary Flames. He's got 5 goals in 15 games. That's a 27-goal pace over 82 for a team that's not flush with goal scorers. But at the same time, to me, he's very much an east-west player, where I think Huska's system is more catered to a north-south approach. And to me, Kuzmenko makes a lot of quote-unquote hope plays, where he just kind of tries something and hopefully it works for him. And with that comes a little bit of inconsistency at times. So for me, I don't know where he fits in terms of what line he should be on, who should be his center, who should be the other winger on his line, both now and moving forward. And I don't know if it's just an adjustment period that'll come naturally with spending some more time in Calgary and having the summer to sort of reflect before coming back for his next season, where he's a pending unrestricted free agent. But I'm kind of like you, Willsy, to the sense of, oh, he should play with player X and player Y and problem solved, or, you know, instant chemistry and away we go. I haven't necessarily seen a combination that hits and goes, oh, this is starting to make sense for me over right. The bigger picture. I just haven't figured out exactly where Kuzmenko belongs in this lineup. Other than, to your point, Willsy, it's not the fourth line for me.
I'm not certain, guys. I do see a long-term fit with Kuzmenko on this team, honestly. I mean, I think had there been interest, the Flames would have been open to flipping him at the deadline. I just don't think there was much interest, knowing how it's kind of been meh as a fit since he's gotten here. And I think that they would be open to potentially going down the flipping him in the offseason or prior to next trade deadline as well. Just with the way this group wants to play and the direction they're going, I don't know if a pretty one-dimensional guy who has had some struggles even translating that one dimension, which to his credit is a very high-end dimension, he's had trouble kind of translating it to the lineup so far. I don't know if there is a long-term fit with the group. I honestly don't. And maybe he plays out his contract. Maybe they're able to flip him at some point. I don't know. But I think right now, to the square peg round hole analogy, Willsy, I think for now you've got to just kind of make do with it. And the way you do that for me is you continue feeding him power play time. I think that's the one area where he does fit, is on the power play. So, you know, there's been plenty of guys in this league who, especially defensemen, who are third pairing D and number one power play or number two power play quarterbacks. So if you can use him a little bit more as a specialist and find him a role that doesn't hurt you at 5-on-5, I think that's kind of what you're looking to do right now. And so with Sharon Govich and Huberdeau with the way that things are structured right now, that's probably it. That's probably the way you do it, because Sharon Govich is still growing into his role as a center, and I think feeding him more offensive starts is the way to go. Same with Huberdeau. So if you can get Kuzmenko there, that's probably the best place for him as it stands right now. I just don't know if I see this being a long-term fit for the Flames and the player.
Yeah, I don't know if I envision that either. I will say this. Andrei Kuzmenko is a young 28. So he's not young by NHL standards, but he's young in the sense that he's only played a season and three quarters in this league. And obviously playing here is different than playing in Russia. You have to do different things. You have to play at a higher level. So I'm not convinced that he's a player who is too old to learn how to become a better 200-foot player. Is he ever going to be a Selke Trophy winner? No, obviously not. But I still think that there's some room to improve there. And when I think about the Flames coaching staff led by Ryan Huska, who has been a teacher at the Western League level, at the American League level, and I still think he's a teacher at the National League level, I think they're going to continue to work with this guy to help him improve without the puck and defensively. And you know, offensively, he's obviously very gifted with that shot that he's got and with his instincts. And, you know, he's got really good edges, the way he kind of twists and turns and protects the puck when he's in the offensive zone. So, you know, there's a lot to like about his game. And I think in a perfect world, here's how I'd like to see it play out. As the Flames try to get younger, you keep working with this guy. You help him evolve as a 200-foot player, and then maybe you flip him before the trade deadline next year and get something good in return for him. So that's kind of how I'd like to see it play out. Whether or not it does, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, he's an interesting player because he flashes from time to time, and that makes you wonder what he could be with some more experience and with some good coaching in this league. But then there are times he kind of leaves you shaking your head. The one thing I'll say is that when the Flames are healthy, and they're getting healthier now with Jacob Markstrom back and hopefully Connor Zeri back against the Canucks on Saturday, really the only place he fits is on a line with Yegor Sharangovich and Jonathan Huberdeau.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, when everybody's healthy, you're not touching the Kadri and the kids line, and you're not touching the backline line with Mangiapane and Coleman. And we've already talked about the fact that he's not a fourth-line player, so he doesn't play on that line either. So really, I think the only spot for him, fellas, is right where he was at practice today.
Agree.
All right, gents, another good round table. We'll do it one more time this week on Friday. Thank you, Wilsey.
Okay, guys.
He is Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll wrap us up on the Daily Flames Roundtable. That'll wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Shan and Cam for producing this hour. And the Daily Flames Roundtable has been brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish.